Welcome to Empower Church. Thank you for joining us today. We are a church that has been called by God, set apart by Him, and bound together by His love. A church that aims to reach the community, the nation, and the world with a message of hope. We hope this message will build your faith, give you godly perspective, and leave you empowered to impact your community and the world.
Come on, let's give Jesus 10 seconds of praise. Come on, won't you praise Him? Won't you lift up His name? Come on. Come on, lift up the name. Come on, come on, come on, come on, empower. Come on, I want you to lift up His name. Oh, come on, 30 seconds of ecstatic praise. Come on. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Let's lift up His name with a shout. Oh, who of you believe that tonight is a breakthrough night? Who of you believe that God can touch you? Who of you believe that God is still the God of suddenly? Come on. Daniel was in the lion's den, but suddenly God took him out. Joseph was in the prison cell and suddenly God came into the scene. Come on, Jesus was locked into the tomb, but suddenly God came. There was a man called on Gadara locked up, but suddenly Jesus arrived. We don't just serve a God that takes a long while. We serve the God of suddenly. We serve the God of breakthrough. We serve the God that can change your life on the inside out and the outside in just like this. Come on, are you there? Are you with me? Say with me, suddenly. No. Say to authority, suddenly. Say, I serve the God of suddenly. Father, we pray as our hands are lifted up tonight. Lord, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You will step into every area of our lives. And thank You, God, that there's a power living inside of us. Thank You that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is abiding in us. Thank You that our names are written in Your book of life. Thank You, Father, that we are redeemed by royalty. We are purposed by royalty. We are selected by royalty. Father, thank You that we serve the name higher than any other name. And Father, with the angels and with the celestial beings and with the ancients of days, Lord, we lift up the name higher than any other name, the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up the name that is able to save. There is no other name, Lord, given under the heavens by which man can be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray this night, let the name of Jesus be magnified. Let the name of Jesus be glorified, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, come and do Your work suddenly. Come and show up suddenly. Come and do only that what You can do. Father, I pray across this room and this night, as Your presence is here, to testify to what I will say about Your word is true. Father, we thank You that the Jesus inside of us, the power of Jesus, heals, transforms, changes. We thank You, Lord, that in this night we can say suddenly. We serve the God of suddenly in Jesus Christ's name. If you believe that, won't you give Jesus Christ just 10 seconds of praise? Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Let's come on, stand to those feet. Come on, give Jesus Christ the praise. Amen. Won't you give the worship team just a God bless you? And they did well. Who of you believe that God, just one touch from Jesus can change you forevermore? Oh no, do you believe that still? Do you believe He is the same yesterday, today, forevermore? Oh, come on. I believe that God can change us. I believe He can shape us. I believe that the Master's touch doesn't just change us, it redeems us. It doesn't just redeem us, it saves us. It doesn't just save us, it rescues us. It doesn't just rescue us, it makes us whole again. Are you there? Oh, come on, no. Are you there? Are you with me tonight? You know why I like to be loud? Because heaven is very, very loud. I don't think heaven is silent. And neither do I think we must be silent. And when the enemy attacks us in one way, we're going to worship Jesus in seven different ways. And that's why I always say, let's worship the Lord. Let's give a shout. Because why do we do these things? Because we need to let our emotions tell our hearts. That our hearts believe in the one. Are you there? Because you are not your emotions, you are your belief systems. And what you believe to be true is the outcome of what people see. Come on, are you with me? So just again, 10 seconds. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him honor. Come on, come on, come on. My prayer is tonight, you're welcome to be seated. My prayer is tonight this, that what I have to share with you tonight, I believe that God wants to bring a breakthrough. And I want to speak to you about the laying on of hands. Is that okay? Because, you know, there is so many things that happens by the laying on of hands. And so good evening to everybody that's watching us online. Take a moment and share that gospel. But tonight I want to lay hands. That's why we're here. We want to, listen, by the laying on of hands, the anointing gets transferred. By the laying on of hands, sick people become healed again. By the laying on of hands, power gets distributed. By the laying on of hands, healing comes, as I said. By the laying on of hands, we can change. And there's so many things about the laying on of hands. And as I was thinking on what to share, you know, again, the Bible is full of this. And in this season that we are finding ourselves in right now, it almost seems like the enemy is very much into creating distance. Come on, can I have an amen? Because suddenly, you know, we are taught to distance from one another. We are taught to keep a distance. And I understand, you know, one or two of those elements. But the point is that when it comes by the laying on of hands, we have to understand that there's power in the laying on of hands. The Bible says, do not lay hands quickly. And that's to do with the officiating of offices in the fivefold gifts. But I believe that the laying on of hands is important. And so tonight we're going to lay hands. Tonight I believe God wants to touch you, heal you, change you. Amen. Okay. Come on, tough crowd. Just say, talk back to me tonight, all the young people. And trust with me that by the laying on of hands, everything can change. Come on. We serve a God that can change anything at any given moment. And so I want to read for you just a portion of scripture. And again, I say by the laying on of hands, there's so much stuff that comes by this. I have so much notes. So I want to try to do this right and to do this justice. Let's go to the book of Acts. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Acts chapter number 28. I'm going to read for you there. And this is at the end of Paul's ministry. It says this, now when they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness. Please note that, unusual kindness. For they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out, and because of that heat, and he fastened it on his hand. And so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live. I like this. But he shook off the creature into the fire. Say with me, shake it off. No, say with authority, shake it off. But he shook off the creature into the fire. Please see where he shakes it off into. Into the fire, and he suffered no harm. Oh, we can preach just on that. However, when they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead, but after they had looked for a long time, and so no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, he must be a god. Now, verse number 7. In that region, there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius. If you ever have children, never name them that. Who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. Interesting. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him.
Oh.
So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And they also honored us in many ways. And when we departed, they provided us with all things necessary. Oh, this is going to be a good night tonight. Are you there? Okay, I'm going to enjoy preaching this. I taught some of this when I was in Witbank, but I thought I'm going to take it a little bit deeper tonight. And I will emphasize one or two things that I said on Wednesday night. I want you to understand that when the enemy attacked Paul here, Paul was carrying a promise. The promise was you have to appear in front of Caesar. In other words, you have to complete the call of God upon your life. I want you to understand tonight that the enemy will never attack you if there's nothing inside of you that is a threat to him. If you live a life that is absolutely attack-free, you live a life that is no threat to the enemy whatsoever. Are you with me? And I'll say it again, it's one of my favorite sayings now. Thieves never rob empty vaults. They will always come to challenge that what is precious, that is redeemed, that is highly esteemed. And you have to know, whenever you face an onslaught, it is the enemy believing in the word that you carry. Every single one of us seated here are vessels carrying a promise. Oh, come on, are you with me? And the promise inside of you is stronger than the problem you will ever face in your life. And let me say it like this. The promise inside of you is stronger than any form of poison that you will ever taste. You see, when the snake bit Paul, the enemy was trying to replace the promise with poison. But Paul was fully convinced. Say of me, fully convinced. No, come on, say it again. Say of me, fully convinced. Paul was fully convinced that the promise he carried had no room for the poison that was potentially coming for him. When you become fully convinced, oh, don't look at me weird. When you become fully convinced of what God can do, the poison of what the enemy wants to do cannot reach you. Oh, no, no, no. You see, there will always be a first line of attack. Let me say it like this. The first attack came in the boat. That was the attack to make Paul wary. Because the Bible says that this boat was in the storm for many days. Come on, who of you are with me? And you have to understand that there's a huge difference between weariness and weakness. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. But the enemy studies your weariness and not your weakness. Because he attacks not in weakness, he attacks in weariness. Samson got weary because Delilah asked him the question again and again and again and again and again. And eventually through weariness, he gave up the promise. What does the promise? No razor should touch my hair. I am a devoted Nazarene. Oh, come on, are you there? The enemy attacks when you are weary. But Paul was of a different kind. And the reason why I am sharing this tonight with you is because I believe that there's people seated here tonight that are of a different kind. Because Paul was in the boat for a long time. And then the boat got broken. But Paul started to swim. Then Paul, listen, if you take the promises of God and you put it in a man that is fully convinced, I'm not saying that you'll never face a storm. Let me rather say it like this. If you don't face a storm, it's very unnatural. If you never have an issue, something is wrong. Are you there? Jesus said it like this. If all people speak well of you, then you are like the false prophet. Something is wrong. Oh, come on. I don't know if I'm talking to real Christians here tonight. But it's in our weakness that His grace gets supplied. Paul the Apostle said it like this. He said, he called his thorn a messenger from Satan. But then Paul changes his mind and he says, no longer do I believe this is a messenger from the devil. Now I believe it's a qualification for the grace or the power of God. Listen, your weakness is a qualifier for the grace. There will always be places in your life where you are weak. And the reason for that is God wants you like that, because if your supply is from you, something is wrong. The Christian life is a supplied life. Oh, come on, are you there? And so when you think about the scripture, what caught my attention was this. Here's Paul, he's living the promise of God. He's being faithful. He's doing exactly what the Lord told him to do. But he finds himself in a storm. But he doesn't allow the storm to redefine who he is. Rather, he defines the storm by who he is. In Mark chapter number 5, you'll find exactly the same thing. The storm comes onto the boat of Jesus. But the storm is not there to redefine who Jesus is. The storm is there to define who Jesus is. Oh, okay. Let me go on. Paul gets thrown off the boat. You know the story. What does the promise do when the promise gets thrown off the boat? The promise swims. Then the promise gets all by itself placed onto a beach. And the Bible says it gets bitten by a viper. And what I love about the story is this. Is that it is when he is bitten by a viper that the crowd gets an opinion. In other words, people often will keep you at the place or the event of your lowest place. You are never defined by what happens to you. That's Simon's mistake. Simon looked at Mary and he said, if Jesus knew what type of woman this is, he will not allow Jesus to be touched by her. Or Jesus will not allow her to touch him. She was using her hands to touch the one that made her. And the only in between was the judging heart of Simon. Because Simon wanted to keep her at what happened to her. Because prostitution interrupted her. Listen, nobody gets born to be a prostitute, by the way. Nobody gets born to be broken. Nobody gets born and want to be poor. You'll never find little children running around and want to become losers one day. Children want to be superheroes. Somebody needs to tell them they need to lose. Oh, come on, am I preaching to the right crowd here tonight? Somebody needs to tell you in life that you are not good enough. But when you were younger, when you're a child, you are fully convinced that you can do the impossible. I think you need about 20 years of religion to tell you all things are not possible. But children will believe anything. Oh, come on, are you there? Come on, get loose a little bit. Children will believe anything. Why? They have not yet been educated. It cannot be done. And sometimes, and especially in this season that we are finding ourselves right in now, I believe we need to get back our children mentality. That when he says it can be done, it can be done. Come on, are you there? Are you with me? Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. 10 seconds. But here's the power of the hands. And this is what I want you to see. Paul makes it to the shore. Most of the time, you will make it further than anybody's opinions, by the way. Because the only opinion that matters is the Lord's opinion. Come on, are you there? And please, don't base your life based on what some say. Because if you base your life about what some say, then you're going to lose your life if they don't say it. Oh, We live by the praise of the one. When I climb into my car here later tonight, I'm just going to ask him one thing. Are you happy? That's it. Because we live for the appraisal of the one. Oh, come on, are you there? So Paul gets bitten. Save me again, suddenly. Paul gets bitten by his... But now I want you to see something here. Let's read the scripture again. Are you guys okay? Are you saved? I forgot to tell you that the word Malta means honeypot. Honeypot. It's the word Malta. So listen to this. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, save me, however. No. Say it with authority. However. They were expecting that he would swell up and suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds. So first he's a murderer. No harm comes. Now he becomes a god. Same crowd. Sounds like Jesus. First they put palms down for him and they say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. 3 days later, they are ready to crucify him. That's how fickle people are. Are you with me? Now listen to this. And verse number 8. Come on. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. And Paul went into him and prayed. And he laid his hand on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways. And when they departed, they provided such things as were necessary. Where did the snake bite Paul? Answer, on the hand. What did Paul use to heal Publius and the whole city or town or village? His hand. In other words, the same hand that was bitten was used by the Lord a couple of moments later to provide healing for a whole region. No, you're not catching the revelation here. Listen, the same hand that bites you is sometimes the very thing that he will use to heal others by. It's what you do with your bite that defines the outcome. Because if Paul changed his mind and if Paul believed for a moment that what he was bitten by defines him, he would have died next to the fire. But he believed that the power inside of him was stronger than the poison inside of the snake. Please note that both Paul and the snake are carriers. One is a carrier of the promise, the one is a carrier of poison. My question tonight to you is, which one are you? Are you a carrier of the promise or are you a carrier of poison? If you are a carrier of the promise, you have to become convinced that neither height nor depth, nor angel, nor demon, nor principality, nor power, but nothing can stop the promise of God in your life. Nothing. Oh, let me say like Miles Monroe said, you have to understand, when God wanted you, He wanted a purpose. You are a living, breathing purpose. There is nobody like you. Nobody has your vocal cords. Nobody has your eyes. Nobody has your DNA. Nobody has your fingerprints. You are unique. Your purpose are unique. The promise of God to your life is unique. If you don't do it, somebody else will have to. Oh, come on. Are you with me? There is many snakes in life and sometimes they come all dressed up like Christians. And you will have to shake it off. Come on, say with me, shake it off. Are you getting what I'm saying, guys? I pray that you catch what I'm saying tonight. Because how many times in life have we not seen people being bitten and then they get stuck? And God doesn't want you stuck. Come on, are you guys with me? Stuck is not Christian. Now let me reword that, that it doesn't sound that harsh. God has done everything so that you and I don't get stuck. Sometimes, listen to me carefully, sometimes God heals us, but then a little bit later on in our lives, we start to keep on carrying around that He freed us from. It's almost like freedom is immediate, because by the way, freedom is immediate, but to believe that you are free takes time. Are you guys with me? Let me say it like this. Say with me, shake it off. Because I need you to guys to shake it off tonight. The same hand that was bitten was the same hand God used to heal. And I'll say it like this. Sometimes what happens to us is we get harmed. But I'll say it like this. Harmed to heal. Let me prove what I'm saying is true. Jesus died on a cross. But the cross is empty. It's no longer full of the Savior. He's off that thing. He was in a tomb. Now the tomb is empty. Okay? But where do we get our hope from? Well, our hope is that He was once on the cross. Our hope is that He was once in the tomb. But both of them are empty. That means He was wounded, but He's not wounded anymore. That means He was bruised, but He's not bruised anymore. That means He took our pain, but He's not in pain anymore. Oh, come on. So He was harmed to heal. And that's why when He came to His disciples, He said to them, "Look at my wounds. I've been healed." What God is looking for in this hour is a people that are convinced what God is doing. Oh, come on, are you with me? You have to become convinced, because if you can become convinced, there's nothing in heaven and or hell that will stop you. But you have to be convinced. It's by a hand that everything changes. Let me say it like this. The man, I love Jesus' example of laying on of hands. The man with leprosy, he's walking into the crowd, and according to the New Testament, the Bible says whenever you were unclean, you needed to shout it out on top of your lungs. And when you were a leper, you had no business between people. And so the leper comes into the mix. Just think of me for a moment here. And the Bible says, he says to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, Jesus says these words, "I am willing." And Jesus touches him. In other words, he lays his hands on him. And you have to understand the significance of what Jesus is doing. This man has received or have felt nobody's touch for years and years and years. In other words, there was a void and there was a vacuum in his spirit and in his soul and in his emotions. Listen, the worst type of prison, they put the hardest criminals in prison cells where it is isolated away from human touch. Because even the hardest of criminals cannot take isolation. Oh, come on, are you there? That's why I hate religion so much, because religion isolates you. But Jesus breaks through the barrier of religion and Jesus touches. Are you there? He breaks the soul barrier, he breaks the emotional barrier, he breaks the spiritual barrier, and he touches. In other words, he's not afraid. You have to understand, the gospel is all about become, became, become, become, became. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? It's very simple. He became our sin so that we could become His righteousness. He became wounded so that we can become healed. He became afraid so that we don't need to be afraid. He became alone so that we will never be forsaken. Oh, come on. He became your sin so that you don't live in sin. He took up your transgressions. He took up your pain. He took up your wounds. He took up your suffering. He took up everything, and He did it all by Himself. Oh, come on. If you ever wanted to praise Him, if you ever wanted to worship Him, it's because He did it again and again and again for you. Why should we praise Him? Because Jesus took our sin. He took our pain. He took our loneliness. He took our discomfort. He took our sickness. He took our poverty. He took it, and He took the full load of it. Oh, come on. And the Bible says in the book of John chapter number 18, He tried to find a way out. He said, Father, if not my will, yours be done. That was Jesus trying to take a route out. Yet He said, not my will, yours be done. You have to understand. Oh, come on. You have to understand something about Jesus. He could have asked for help at any given moment. Any given moment. You say, Pastor, why are you so passionate? Because I am still convinced after 17 years that there's no other way but the way of Jesus Christ. There's no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. I believe He heals. I believe He redeems. I believe He saves. I believe He rescues. I believe He helps. I believe He shows up. I believe He comes every single time. I am convinced. And if you are not convinced, you have to become convinced. Oh, come on, are you there? Save me suddenly. No. Say suddenly. Listen, we are not in this church. I'm not grooming you to just have silence upon you. I'm grooming you to become warriors. We are not going to be insy weeny, sitinsy weeny, yellow dot bikini Christians. We're going to be warriors. We're going to be the ones walking onto that field and say, listen, who do you think you are? Talking to God's people like this. I'll take your head off. We're going to be the people that sit in the lion's den and say, it's okay, our lion is coming. We're going to be the people that say, it's fine, I'm going to move out of this prison cell. We are the people that are going to lift up His name, that's going to worship Him undignified. That's who we are. We are not here to go quietly into the night. There's nothing quiet about us. Are you there? Are you with me? Oh, come on. Save me again suddenly. Let's pray just for Africa. Father, we just bless Africa, Father, in this night in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, what an awesome privilege. What an awesome privilege to be broadcasting into Africa. Father, I pray that Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be healed. Africa shall be redeemed. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. Come on, let's give Jesus Christ just a praise offering. Come on, Empower. Are you ready to shake it off tonight? We have to be able to shake it off. Lord, if you are willing, I am willing. And He touched him. I want you to understand something tonight. Have you ever thought this afternoon as I was praying, I had this thought. They put Jesus. You have to understand what happened at that crucifixion. And I'll give you like 30 seconds of it. When Jesus went to Caiaphas and Annas, the Bible says that the chief priests questioned Jesus. And this were questioning. And then the Bible said they slapped him. They slapped him through the face. This word slap here is the word slap with a sting. In other words, they slapped him properly. They slapped him like hard. And Historians will tell us there was at least 120 people there slapping Jesus through the face. But the king stays silent. Why is he silent? Because he's standing in front of religious people. They're trying to put him on the third degree. In other words, they're trying to question him. But he's in the wrong court, so that's why he's silent. Then they take him to the scourging post. And there he gets whipped, not 39 times, because Jesus was not whipped by the Jews, he was whipped by the Romans. In other words, he didn't just face 39 lashes. He took all the lashes until he would, just before he would die. So the lashes that he took, and go and study what I say, is unquantifiable. We don't know how many lashes he took. Then the Bible says they rip out his beard. Are you guys with me? But as I was preparing, this is what the Lord said to me this afternoon. Can you imagine just for a moment? Just for a moment. I want you just to imagine for a moment. Here you are on that cross, or you're busy being prepared for the cross. And you see them take out the nail. And then they place that nail right on the end of your arm, just before your hand. And you see them punch that nail through your arm. Can you imagine the scrutiny? Now let's take this thought just a little bit deeper. Can you imagine the self-control? Because he could save himself. He could ask for 12 legions of angels. But he never did. The Bible says he's silent. Oh, come on, help me tonight, Christians. He's silent. He says nothing. They punch the first nail into his hand. Then the second one comes in. Then they cross his legs and they punch the third one through his feet. Now he's hanging on the cross. And the only relief that he gets is he needs to push himself up off his feet. He needs to take a breath and he falls back into the pain. The Bible says he hangs there. Come on, we take the cross way too cheap. He hangs. He hangs. And as he's hanging, people at the foot of his cross are mocking him. They're shouting at him. They say, if you are the Christ, take yourself off. Doesn't that sound like many people? Come on, if you say who you are, solve this problem. Jesus hangs. The Son of God hangs. The ones that he created are at the foot of his cross. Oh, come on, are you there? He waits. He says nothing. And the Bible says this. Now the Son of Man hangs. The religious people are fixing supper for Passover. But the Passover lamb is on the cross. They miss the moment. They miss the Messiah. They miss Jesus. Because they were so fixed in their routine. They were so fixed to what they were doing. Oh, come on, are you with me? The greatest danger to the Christian faith in this hour, it's for us to define how he can move and why he should move and how he can do things. Let me tell you something. God is not a subscriber to how human beings want him to do stuff. He can break that box time and time again. And here he hangs. Think of me, he hangs. He hangs. They say, can we break his knees? Why do they want to break his knees? Because If you broke his knees, he can't push himself up anymore. Come on, do you understand the love of God? What amazes me completely about the cross, that's why I'm convinced forever in my life. I'll never not be convinced. The Son hangs. He has an army that are willing to come. at any given time. Come on, guys, think of me. He never calls on them. The captain never makes the call. Oh, guys, online, share the gospel. The captain never makes the call. Never. Gabriel stands. Come on. I've got people here, my volunteers here. I've got many people here sitting in this church tonight. You will defend me if somebody wants to hurt me. If somebody comes in here, tries to hurt me, I've got many people sitting here that will take people out. Can you imagine? The Son of God hangs. Can you imagine the angels asking, can we go? Can we go? But the command never comes. But here's where it goes for me way deeper. The Father watches on and He waits. If you're a parent and you see your children being tortured, how much in love must you be? Come on, change that too. How much in love must you be? Not, listen, are you with me? Not to do something radical. How in love must you be? The Father watches on. Jesus' hands. And I want you to see something here that maybe somebody have never said to you before. The reason why His arms are crucified open is because nobody is unwelcome. Oh, come on, you can do better than that in power. No, come on, let's praise Him. Just 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Come on. How will you praise Him if He's coming tomorrow? How will you shout? How will you clap those hands if you know that on the other side of your clap is your breakthrough? Come on, are you guys there? Are you with me? And so, hear the king hands. He hands. The Bible says they mock Him. He says nothing. He's silent. Why? Because the Father is pouring His wrath on Him. And you may ask, what has this got to do with laying on of hands? Everything. Because His hands was pierced so that yours don't need to be. He took your pain. He took your suffering that you don't need to have it. Come on, are you there? And so, this is what gets me about the gospel. The Bible says, He walks into a synagogue. He goes to a church. And as He's in a church, Jesus finds a man. And this man was bound for many years. And He says to the man, stretch out your hand. And the man stretches out his hand. And the Bible says his hand became as whole as the other. But now the religious people talk again. And they say, no. You can get healed 6 days of a week. But on the seventh day, you mustn't get healed. Come on, do you understand how bad religion is? Religion will like to keep you at an event where you have long passed that event. Religion likes to call people the lady of the issue of blood. Religion likes to call you doubting Thomas. Do you know that Thomas took the gospel the furthest? True story. He's the disciple that took the gospel the furthest. Because he was convinced. Come on, save me, shake it off. And so what I want you to understand tonight is your wounds heals. You might have been harmed once, but if you allowed the healing power of the Holy Spirit to come in you, you are now healed. And your healing can provide healing for somebody else. Oh, come on. You know, a hand, and that's what I wanted to get to tonight. A hand changed a shepherd boy from a shepherd boy to becoming a king. One moment, he's still a shepherd's boy. 50 steps later, he's a king. They call him, they say, listen, Sam, and that's the way the world works, unfortunately. Samuel looks on the outside. God says, I don't like any of them. Eliab comes in, he looks nice. He's dressed nice. God says, I don't like him. Other boy comes, I don't like him. Not him, Samuel. Other boy comes, not him. Other boy comes, not him. Other boy comes, not him. Seven boys come, seven no's happens. Samuel is confused. There's a king in the house, yet there's none here with the approval of God. Yeah, because the king is outside, Samuel. He's not in the house. And Jesse is like, don't you have any more boys? It's like, yeah, of course I do. I have one. Oh, there's so much on this. I have one. But I don't, let me paraphrase. He doesn't look like a king. He's with the sheep. The Bible says, Samuel says, go and call for him. And we will not sit until he comes. The Bible says, yet David, he walks. He comes and he walks from the sheep. He comes into the house. Yeah, he sees the old man. And in his hand, he has a flask full of oil. And right in front of his brothers. Oh, get ready to shout. Right in front of his brothers. The prophet goes and he pours the oil on David's head. Now listen to me. I want you to understand something here. The prophet does not wait. God does not wait for David to become perfect before he puts his hand upon him. He doesn't wait for David to become all cleaned before he puts his hand upon him. He doesn't wait for David to get all washed before he put his hands on him. I don't know about you, but I find a lot of hope in this, that God doesn't wait until I'm perfect before he puts his hand upon me. I want to tell you tonight, you have a hand upon you. It's the hand of favor. It's the hand of grace. It is the hand of protection. It is the hand of mercy. It is the hand of healing. And you don't need anybody else's hand. You have the hand of God. You have the approval of God. And if God's hand is upon you, that's the only hand that matters. Come on, give Jesus a shout of praise. A salute. Come on. Oh, come on, let's do that again. Give him 10 seconds of praise. As you're standing, listen to this. Now, Eliab, David was anointed in front of Eliab, right? Who was the first boy that Samuel thought was the king? Eliab. When David goes to the battlefield, who's the first brother he encounters? Eliab. Eliab tries to stop David. David says, hey, why are you on my case? I'm just here to bring you bread and cheese. But then David says, who's this talking? I want you to see here tonight, all of you that are here tonight, you have many Eliabs that has a problem with the anointing that you carry. But don't listen to your Eliab. Oh, come on. Don't listen to your Eliab, because he's wrong. Eliab is wrong. Now you can be seated. Listen, Many of us, we waste our time on our Eliabs. David goes, he gives bread and cheese, he takes bread and cheese, but he has something different upon his life. He's anointed. Bible says all the other people are afraid, but the shepherd's boy is anointed. Listen to me. Back to Paul. Paul was anointed, but Satan tried to switch the promise to the poison by what happened to Paul. Paul made up his mind that he will not become that what happens to him. He made up his mind he will become what happens through him. Oh, come on. And let me end with this. I pray you understand this. Your wounds can heal if you allow God to do the healing. Let me tell you a story. All of you know that I've said this before and I'll say it again. All of you know that I lost my dad and I lost my mom, and that's, thank you Jesus, that, you know, we're fine and all of that. But I want to tell you a story. It was about, I guess, four, five, six months ago. One day, you know how you, when people pass and people go to be of the Lord, you know, it takes your time to clean stuff and take stuff out. You know what I'm talking about. I want to demonstrate, because if you can catch what I'm saying, it will help you. And so, on a certain day, I just felt, you know, it's time, you know, stuff needs to go, and because we have to move on. Come on, are you with me? What I'm saying is not disrespectful. What I'm saying is that, you know, there comes a time when you have to move on. In other words, you have to move on from the point of injury or from the wound, because if you stay stuck there, you become that pain. There are many people that are stuck, by the way. They become their hurt, they become their offense, they become the betrayal, they become the mistake. But that's not God's design. God wants you to move on. Come on, are you there? Oh, come on. There's some people that live in their yesterday. God is not there anymore. He's in your tomorrow. Do you know how we know that Christians are living in their yesterday? If they talk more about God in their past than what they talk about what He's going to do in their future. And so the day came where I felt the Lord say, it's enough now, you know, time to move on. And so I cleaned everything out. And as I did that, I cleaned everything out. And as I was busy cleaning it out, the Spirit of the Lord spoke into my ear. And He said, I want you to take a picture of what you're busy doing. And I want you to send it to so-and-so. And I want you to tell them how I feel about them. And I learned from this, from somebody else, that the person that I sent the message to also lost their father. But the man that I sent it to, he was in a very bad state. And so I sent him a message and said, listen, so many months later, I just want to show you, you can move on and you can be healed and you can be fine. And I just want to give you a word from Jesus. And I typed to him the word that the Lord gave to me for him. And he messaged me back a day or two later. And he said, thank you for sharing. I need to read your message again and again and again and again until it sinks in. Because I believe your message needs to heal me. Now listen, here's the point. If I stayed stuck, I could never heal him. But now because I got healed, I can heal others. Oh, come on. There's never a testimony without a test. There's never a message without a mess. It is your message that is coming out of your mess. It is your testimony that comes out of your test. That's why you can say, when I am weak, yet I am strong. Why? You have learned that. That's why you can say, when I am poor, I am rich. That's why you can say, I can say boldly, I'm never alone, because I have the company of three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I know how it feels to feel alone. But I also know how it feels to have a lot of company. The worst is to be in company and feel alone. But who of you know that He died alone so that you don't need to be? Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody? So as I lay hands tonight, this is what I'm going to lay hands for. Is that you might have been bitten, but you're not defined by that. Come on, shake it off. Come on, shake it off. Shake it off. Let me say it like this. Paul the Apostle, he got bitten by this hand. Listen to me now. God uses that very thing that bites him, the very thing that bits him, the very hand of this bitten, God uses that very hand now to go and lay hands on Publius. The very wound becomes the vessel of healing. But now, the Bible says the villagers start to celebrate Paul. And the villagers, they give him gifts. And if you study it, they gave him money, they gave him gifts, they honored him. Okay? Now they honored him so much that the Bible says that Paul bought a house in Rome, and for the rest of his life, he lived paid up, or let me rather say, sponsored by the snake bitten company. Let me reword that a little bit better. I think I can say that better. The gospel gets financed by the snake company. Because if Paul was never bitten, he would have never been financed. But now the gospel gets financed by what bit Paul. You see, what bites you often finances you, often blesses you, often helps you, often assists you, because you'll never know, you never know how strong you are until you know what it is not to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? That snake never knew, while he was biting Paul, he's financing the gospel. He was just doing what the devil said he must do, bite. And Paul shakes it off. And what should have killed Paul elevates Paul. And let me take this gospel message further. I bet none of you in this house has ever heard this last part in Acts 28. When Paul goes to Rome, the ship that he goes there on was not a normal ship. It was a ship of royalty. It was a ship that kings sailed on. It was an Alexandrian type of ship. In other words, Satan messes up a cheap ship. Paul gets bitten by the devil's snake. Jesus uses that to set him up with Publius. Publius gets used to set him up with the crowd. The crowd gets used to finance Paul, and Paul travels in his brand new kingly ship all the way to Rome. How's that for a turnaround? Broken? No. Interrupted. Messed up? No. Message. Tested? No. Testimony. Prostitute? No. Worshipper. Bound? No. Worshipper. Forsaken? No. Just for a moment. In prison? No. Promise waiting. With lions? No. King coming? All alone on the Isle of Patmos? No. Revelation coming. Your situation is never what defines you. It is the King that defines you. It is the King that shapes you. Come on. It is the King. Do you get what I'm saying tonight? Come on, let's give Jesus Christ 10 seconds. So what I want to do tonight, I want to lay hands tonight because I believe that God wants to heal us, change us, transform us. I believe He wants to shape us. Amen. It's by the laying on of hands that everything changes. I can't tell you how many times it was after somebody laid hands on me that God changed me completely. There's something about the laying on of hands. Something very, very powerful by the laying on of hands. And so, I wonder tonight, are we hungry and are we thirsty for Him? Come on, are you hungry and are you thirsty for Him? Are we really hungry? Are we really thirsty? Come on, are we there? Talk back to me. Are you hungry for the Lord? No. Talk back to me. Do you really want the Lord to help you? Then I believe what He has tonight will change you forever. I'll give you a testimony. The Bible says we overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb and by the power of our testimony. Everybody gets tired every now and again, right? So I was tired one day. And you know how you sometimes talk about church people like if it's God's people. In other words, I was talking to God and I was like, hey God, please talk to your people. You know, I'm tired. These people don't want to listen. And in a moment of weakness, I shouted. And it's not a, you have to understand, when I say weak, I'm proud of weakness. Because weak means I'm dependent. So I shouted. And I was riding my bike. Because I like to cycle. And so I was cycling and I cycle with one of my AirPods always in. And on this particular day, I had both of them in because when you cycle, you want to hear the road. Are you with me? And so you want to hear the cars coming, etc., etc., because you don't want to meet Jesus that quickly. So I was cycling and I had both of them in. And this, the new AirPods, they muffle all the sound out. You can't hear the sound. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on, don't be so religious. You know what I'm talking about? And so I was cycling, and at one moment, I just shouted. I was shouting at the loudest as what I can. I said, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I was shouting it. I wasn't thinking about nothing. I was just shouting because I needed His help. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'll help. And He did. But here's what I wanted to tell you. When I screamed, help me, Jesus, but I was shouting like crazy loud. Now you have to understand, you know, here I am on my bike. But what I didn't think about is where I shouted. Because right at that moment, when I shouted, help me, Jesus, I was in between a group of people. And my bike was coming around the corner and guys are walking in the street. And I shouted, help me, Jesus. And I shouted it so loud that people just ran. And what made others ran away from me made God ran to to me. Why? Help me, Jesus. And he answered, not a long prayer, a simple prayer. Help me, Jesus. I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not your long prayers that gets his attention. It's a short, honest, authentic, real prayer that gets his attention. Oh, come on, give Jesus Christ a praise of. Come on, are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? So short, help me. He says, of course. Of course. Of course I will. And so tonight I wanna pray first and foremost for everybody that's online of us. And I wanna ask you tonight, if you are in a place where you need, I believe that there's no distance in the spirit, though it would have been awesome if you could be here tonight to lay hands on your person. But I want to pray for you tonight, and I want to pray that there where you are tonight, that God will touch you in your room, wherever you watch me from, that the Lord will heal you from all your infirmities, that it will cast off you all your diseases, and that it will change you from the inside out. Amen? Everybody in the house, do you believe that? So what I want you to do as you're on the line, yes, I want you just to comment your names quickly. Just comment your names. Just go for it. Let this chat burn. And I want to pray for you. Everybody that's in the house, you guys must prepare your hearts because we're going to lay hands on you, okay? Ushers, volunteers, guys, please be ready. Get ready. Just start to be a little bit loose because now you're going to catch quite a bit of people. So, can we pray for people? I don't want to pray. People, please, guys, please throw up those names. Throw up those names. You believe that the Bible says where two or more agree, so it shall be. Worship team, please come back. Where two or more shall agree, it shall be done. Not it may be done, it. That means it will be done. And so as the people are commenting your names, I want to pray for you. And I want to ask everybody that's in the building is full. I want to pray that we can pray for everybody that's online. Is that okay? So there we are, guys. Won't you just lift your hands? Everybody that's online, lift your hands. There we are. And I want to pray for you. Father, I pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Right now for every single person. Every single person that is watching online. And that will watch online. Father, I pray right now that the anointing will touch them there where they are. I pray right now, Heavenly Father, that your anointing will heal them, will change them, will transform them, will save them in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray in this night, Lord, that every form, whatever it might be, that in this night it will break off in Jesus' name. Every form of evil, every form of decay, every form of wickedness, that it will break off in this night in Jesus' name, we pray. Father, we pray right now that your anointing will touch people. There where they are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Everybody that's in the house, won't you just disagree with me just for a moment. Father, I pray, go into every house right now. Go into every home right now. And touch to change. Touch to change. In Jesus' name. Touch to change. In Jesus' name. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Can we just pray that prayer again? Touch to change. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord Holy Spirit, I pray, do what only you can do. Come and touch to change. In Jesus' name.
If you've been impacted by this ministry in any way, we want to encourage you to partner with us financially and help us continue delivering God's word all around the world. Visit www.empowerchurch.co.za and find the giving option that works best for you, as well as some of our latest resources. Thank you again for joining us. Now go and live an empowered life.